minister, you just feel free. Just feel free. I can tell you that you get in the spirit out of the shop, because I couldn't stop you. Lord God, did you know that? I couldn't stop you. If I wanted to, it would have stopped God. Praise God. But that's going to be put on that. That's going to be done. Hallelujah. We're going to ask our husbands to come to the time to take the morning time for us. Father, thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you for getting us all through all of the bad weather that we had yesterday and through the night. Now thank you for allowing us to come and serve you and worship you this morning. Now we ask that the people here know that there's work to be done. And it takes a little bit of money. And we ask for you to give freedom for God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The third number of 57, Amazing Grace. That's all saying now. Youth revival all day on that day. without youth revival all day on that day. That's going to be Sunday morning, Sunday night. And Brother Zane Smith is going to be here with us holding those two services. So everybody be in prayer. Tell all the young people that you know about it. Tell them that, that Brother Zane will be here. And most of you know Brother Zane and know that you know. He's going to really be blessed by him coming. He's a young preacher, praise God, that he just loves the Lord and just does the best for him, for God, and you'll live life for him. Praise God. Any other announcements? Not any other. All right.
And so we were going to talk to today after getting married.
Oh, but then, happy birthday.
But it is such a joy to serve him and to know him and to be part of the family. I make you glad this morning that he is a merciful God.
Amen.
If it weren't for his mercy, none of us would make it.
That's right.
Not one of us. But there's not one of us that's worthy to be called his son to start with. And I know the truth. He was dragged to the end of the ground. And I remember, you know, this morning I was thinking of the last few days the Lord has washed my eyes. They were good. Everything that come up, I cried like I go to it. You know, and songs that I've listened to all of my life have just touched my heart so deeply this past week. Knowing that I can leave this walk of life that we've lived. And church, I know. There's no fear in me about that.
Yeah.
I can lay down at night and go sound asleep and know that God will never open my eyes to you again. The next thing I'll say is to you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you,
God. That is the joy of knowing me and the true part of my spirit.
Yeah.
And I believe in the true part.
Yeah.
In the true part of me. And I thank you for all that he's done for me. My daughter, my oldest daughter, some years ago, took little baby girl, and we were excited, and said something for the boy from her. And I died with the faith, and I went to a quarter and a half of dollars, people. And sometimes, you know, that's totally wrong. But this particular time, you know, I was the same. You know, there's a difference in saving because you look the same. And saving because you're paid the same. And a little bit of church, just a handful of people, the same life. But out of that handful, it was there, there was 72 years ago to the altar. The assistant wife, the head deacon, went to the altar and got up and professed that they had been living a hypocritical life, but they had got saved that night. It is all because of somebody that wanted to do something for Jesus.
Amen.
A little child. And you know, when she did that, I could never get her to sing anymore. That ended her singing. She'd say, "Daddy, I don't want to. But I'll give you a quarter. Daddy, I don't want it. I don't want to sing." But just to know that God used that little child that night the way he did. This one old gentleman came up to me, not hardly as old as I am now. But he said, "Brother Jimmy, I'm 69 years old and I can count on one hand all the times that I've missed church on Sunday." On one hand in my lifetime. And I thought I was all right till tonight. But Jesus really got a hold of me. And he saved my soul. That's what obedience will do, church.
Yes.
When you obey God, I will sing. And God does the singing. It'll do things for you like you wouldn't believe. That child started singing and she spoke the word and started crying. And I'll fulfill full. So you see, it's not what you say sometimes. It's what you get up to do it for.
Amen.
So just try to listen to this as I try to sing it this morning.
I walk the nails. Yes, Lord.
Are y'all doing good?
Rock and rattle. Rock and rattle. Know about rock?
Yeah. My portion of my inheritance. divided it up between them and said, not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. There he wasted his substance for a riotous living. I'm going to tell you, it reminds me so much of the days when I was raised as a child because I was really raised in church. My mother carried me to church. Daddy didn't go very often, hardly ever go, maybe a funeral or something. But I was raised in church, and up till I was 18 years old, I don't think I ever tasted of a beer. But when I got that old, I got thinking, you know, I can do it my way now. I'm grown. I don't want anybody telling me how to live. Y'all ever been there? I'm happy. My goodness, evidently there's several men in my position, haven't they? Praise God. But he said he left and he took all that he had with him.
Yep.
And he went into a far country. Well, you know, that's a similar story to my own. As we went off into this far country, into this riotous living that was out there that I'd never experienced before, because I was raised in a community called Dry Creek. It was so far back in the sticks that, you know, most people didn't even know where Dry Creek was, and didn't know what sin was in Dry Creek because nobody came in there and exposed us to it. You know, and we were just a pretty good bunch of people that lived pretty much by the way we were led. We had some hard daddies that made us live the way he did, whether he lived it or not.
Come on.
But here this young man took it all into another country, Miss Girl. And guess what? He got out there and he had the biggest bunch of friends.
Yeah.
You know, most of y'all don't know it, and I'm not proud of it, but I used to run taverns in Lee County, and I've seen this very thing happen many a time. As long as this young man had a pocket full of money, Lord have mercy, they just get up there and they just pat him on the back. They tell him what a great guy he was. All the way up to that last beer was popped. That last dollar was spent. And then all of a sudden, you look around and there's no friends left. Well, here this young man was. He was in a foreign country, Brother Vern, and there he was. He spent all that he had, and all his buddies just left him.
Oh,
yeah. So now let's see what happened. And when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and it began to be in want. My goodness. He spent everything that he had, and then the people that should have been his friends and helped him out when he was in need of his soul stuff, praise God, they were gone.
Yeah.
Well, this famine came, he had no one to help him.
That's right. Stranger.
I'm telling you, he was a stranger in that land. Even the people that left and went with him from his father's house when he carried the herd, of that part of the herd that he carried over there with him, and the flock of sheep or whatever he got in his inheritance, all those things, when he carried them with him, those people that went with him, helped him with the herd, they were gone too. Why? Because they couldn't get paid anymore.
That's right.
You know? So here he was. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And that citizen sent him into the field to feed his flock. Now this old boy was a Jew. Now I'm going to tell you something. If there's one thing that will really tear up a Jew and really work on his mind, you put him around a swine. Because God called him unclean. Now here he was out there in the very hot pen with the swine and feeding those swine. And the guy didn't even bring him anything to eat. Look at him. said, but he would have been vain, have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. You ever been there? All your buddies love you. Man, that's good. Man. Boy, I'll tell you, that party you threw last night was good. You know, I'm sad to say that I had family in a party last night. They were cooking a birthday supper and drinking that old beer for somebody they knew. But I guarantee you this morning when all that was gone, they had a headache. That's all they had left over was a hangover. Have y'all ever had a hangover? I'm going to tell you, I used to drink enough to float most ships. You know, and the next day I'd get up like that ship ran over me. That's how I'd feel. That's the way he felt, praise God. Then he came to himself. But Jimmy, ain't you glad we came to ourselves? He came to himself and he began to think about something and said, how many hard servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Well, you know, he just kind of little thought in his mind. He said, now,
reality check.
Let's check this out. Let's look back on things. Let's see what it was like back there. Let's look what it like it was like back there when I was at daddy's house.
Yeah.
He said, well, you know, everybody there had plenty. So not only did they have plenty, but they had extra. Boy, ain't that good with God.
Amen.
Ain't that good with God? Praise God. Hallelujah. And said, and here I am, I'm starving to death.
Yeah.
It came to his mind one more time, and he said, I will arise and go to my father, and will say of him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hard servants. Well, you know, when he left, he had fine robes on.
Yeah.
He had shoes on his feet, had rings on his fingers. I mean, he was one of the prime bunch.
Yeah.
But now he is just wanting to be a servant. I just want to show up at the table and eat. Yeah. That's what he's saying. Well, here it is. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son, which was dead, is now alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry.
Yeah.
My. That's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
You know, you think when you're a young child and you come to know a little bit about Jesus, and you join the church and you get baptized and you think, well, everything is good. And then the devil comes along and takes you off to that faraway country.
Yeah.
He begins to talk to you and tantalize you with lusts of the flesh.
Yeah.
Things that displease the flesh. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you get to looking back and saying, you know, my father don't know exactly what's going on here, though. He's up there in heaven. He's never been tempted like this. Here I am down here and I'm in the flesh. And I'm feeling tempted, and I'm wanting to do some things that make my flesh happy. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you, if you counted it, the friends that you've got that run around with you, sometimes when you got plenty of money, you heard everyone of them say, well, I just want to try this one time. You know what? When I was lost, Brother Jimmy, they brought me that first can of beer. Said, just try it. It's good. I don't know where they got that from, because I'm just going to be honest with you. As much as I drank of it, I never did really like it. Then they brought that little marijuana cigarette log, and they gave me a puff off. Try this. You're going to love it. And I tried it, and all it made me want to do is sleep. But how no party in this sleep? I still didn't figure out what was going on. And then over the years, they had the whiskey in it, they had the speed and other things that were so active and so plentiful in those days. Now, I know there's lots of things that's a lot stronger than that now around, but I'm just telling you about when I was lost. And all these things made my flesh, Brother Byrne, want to go and do fleshly things.
Yeah.
It made me want to run around with a different crowd. Made me want to do things that wasn't taught about in church. Well, you know, I hid it for a long time. Long time I was in the bar, and people in my community didn't even know that I went. They didn't see me, because I didn't bring it home to me. Kept it in those joints. But I found out while I was down there that I was in a place that would leave me to die. Yeah, I found out real quick that sooner or later I was going to meet my date of death in those places. And I didn't see any way out. Didn't find any place to get out. Just because I wanted the flesh to pleasure the flesh.
Yeah.
That's what this boy wanted. He wanted that flesh. He wanted to be looked up to by people that he didn't grow up with. You know, one that grew up with him, they still thought a lot of him. If he'd have been there around his father, he'd still be recognized as his father's son. But he wanted to go somewhere else and be somebody that didn't know him.
Yeah.
Be the big shot that didn't know him.
Yeah.
You know. So there he was in this land, and he realized, if I stay here, I'm going to die. If I stay here, I am going to die. Mm-hmm. Well, the Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 that pointing out a man wants to die and then the judgment.
That's right.
So everybody's got an appointed time to die. Is that right? Is that what it says? So if we got a point of time to die, we got to make preparation for our death. Not for our living, but our death.
That's right.
Now this other was just for our living, Brother Vern. This is things that made our flesh feel good, and we wanted to live and feel good.
Yeah.
But then we realized that we're not going to live forever. And someday we're going to die. So we got to make preparation. That's what this young man did when he got hungry and he got to thinking about daddy's house got cleansed. For a person that has been raised in the church and told about Jesus in the church all the time as they were growing up, and then the flesh took over and got them out in the world.
Yeah.
Sooner or later, they're going to hunger. They're going to hunger, and they're going to want something to take the hunger away.
That's right.
The good thing about it is that you've got a Father in heaven that gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have an everlasting life.
That's
right. Well, have I went too far? I've heard them say that, Brother Jimmy. I've heard people say, I've went too far. I can't get saved now. I can't get straightened out no more. because I done went too far. I was in church, but I got away from church. Now I'm gone, and I'm in a place where I'm dying. And I need to get back.
Yeah.
The good thing about it is this. Let me tell you. You're in a great place to get it right today.
Amen.
Everybody put your hand on your chest. See if you can feel a heartbeat.
Uh-huh.
Can't you put it up here? You put it up here. It's still beating, ain't it?
Yeah.
Anybody dead yet? Huh? Hold your hand up, you dead. Everybody's alive. All right, that means that everybody in here, on the sound of my voice, can get things right with God today.
Come on.
Right. Isn't that a wonderful? Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
That everybody in this place, whether you're right or not, can go to heaven if you really want to.
Yeah.
Think about this now.
Yeah.
Think about it. Listen to me. Why? Why would I want to go to heaven? I can tell you why I want to go to heaven. Because I got to go to hell one time. When I looked down at my feet that day, 39 years ago, and I saw the flames of hell coming up through the floorboards of that church, it looked like they were coming out of the bars of hell. And they were licking my feet. I knew right then it wasn't where I wanted to go.
Amen.
Now, I didn't get no vision of heaven at that time. I have since then got a view of heaven a little bit. But it's still not as good as it was. You know what I'm saying, Sister Shirley? As beautiful as that picture was in my mind, and as I think about heaven now, the beauty of it, it's still not as pretty as it is, because he said, eyes have not seen, nor have ears heard of the beauty that's in heaven. But that ain't the reason I wanted to be saved. The only way that I could miss that hell and that inferno that I was headed for was to get saved.
Amen.
At that time, I'm going to just be honest with you, I'd have been just as happy with a little shack on the side of the hillside in heaven. Because I knew that I did not want to be in that devil's place in that hell. You know, hell was created for Satan and his angels. Now, it's been enlarged because of unbelief of people. Nobody has ever been sent to hell. Nobody. If you go to hell, it's because you're going to choose to be there today.
That's right.
What?
Yep.
Listen to me now. Well, Brother Wynn, you know I like to party. I'm going to just break the news to you right now. This is not real good news. They're not partying in hell.
That's right.
That's right.
Right.
No telling at the times when I was lost that people told me to go to hell. And my answer to them was this. I'll save you a front row seat. But you know, after I got saved and I got studying about hell and what was going on there, I found out something. There ain't no party going on down there.
Amen.
There ain't no front row seat to save.
That's right.
When I looked into the in the book of Luke where it was talking about the rich man Lazarus and it described what Lazarus went through, he went to heaven, to that heavenly place to be comforted because he was a beggar and he'd gotten mistreated all his life. And then the rich man died, and he lifted up his eyes, opened his eyes in hell, and many torments. And many torments. That's pain. That's agony. That's sadness. It's forever.
That's right.
I'm inclined to believe that the devil went out through the land and told everybody that's lost out there, it don't make no difference, folks. You can stay lost. You ain't gonna be burnt for just a second. You're gonna be gone. You won't have supper no more at that 1 second that you throw into hell. So wouldn't it be worth it to have a party now? Wouldn't it be worth it to have a party now? Well, I got news for you. My Bible says not only is heaven eternal, but also hell is eternal.
Amen.
The fires of hell will never be quenched. And the worm.